Welcome back to the Farm to School podcast, where you will hear stories of how youth thrive and farmers prosper when we grow, cook, and eat delicious, nutritious local food in schools.
We're your hosts, Michelle Markestein.
And I'm Rick Sherman. We're Farm to School coordinators coming to you from the state of Oregon.
And this is an exciting episode. This is number 2 of 4, where Rick was on assignment at the second biannual Growing School Garden Summit in San Diego, California.
Yep, that is exactly correct. More of the same. We'll have 3 exciting guests to share with you. So let's get started. So I'm here with Caitlin. And Caitlin, I'm going to let you have a very similar name to mine, but it's different. So what is your name?
Yes, so it's Sharman.
And mine is Sherman, but hers is spelled with a whole lot more letters and stuff. And so you can see that on our show notes and everything. And where are you located at?
Yes, so I work for the Waukee Community School District in Iowa.
Iowa. And I don't think I've ever been to Iowa. Go Hawkeyes, I guess, right?
Not so much.
No, Iowa State?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That's good to know. Okay. I hold no affinity. So, and sorry to offend any Hawkeyes or...
It's all right. We have Hawk fans and Cyclone fans in our house. Okay. So,
we have that in Oregon too. House divided and stuff. So, okay. So, what do you do there?
Yes. So, I'm the registered dietitian for our district. So, I work for our nutrition services department, and a portion of my role is coordinating our farm to school work.
How does that work into your nutrition work? That's interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah. Our program has kind of 3 prongs to it. So we do hands-on agricultural experiences for students, which is our school gardens, hydroponics, vermicomposting, egg hatching, lots of different things.
Ah, good.
We also do nutrition education through some different wellness programs. And then we also do a lot of local purchasing. So we have a Harvest of the Month program and participate in some state initiatives around local purchasing.
Okay. Now, are you at a district level? Do you have many schools?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
how many schools do you have there?
We have 10 elementary buildings, 3 6-7 buildings, 2 8-9, and 2 high schools. And then we are a very rapidly growing district. So we add about 400 to 500 new students every year. We're the fastest growing district in the state of Iowa.
Okay. Would you consider yourself more urban, rural, kind of?
Yeah, suburban, I would say.
Suburban. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good deal. And so do you have school gardens at all of your schools?
We're not quite at all of our buildings yet. We have 6 outdoor spaces and then another 8 hydroponic spaces. And some buildings have both an outdoor space and an indoor hydroponic space.
Okay. What do you think what's the biggest takeaway in terms of what you do in terms of like how you see kids' lives transform through this outdoor learning and space and anything? What do you see that really excites you about that?
I think what really excites me is a lot of our kids don't have access to outdoor spaces or their families aren't gardening at home. And so sometimes, like, kids are touching a seed for the first time when they are in our garden spaces. They've never planted one before. They've never seen it. And so it's just really exciting to get to see kids getting that really hands-on, immersive experience in learning where their food comes from.
Okay, good. And so do you see yourself in the same position in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, growing, or how could the program grow?
Yes. I mean, I love our district. I love where I'm at. We have incredible people that are super passionate about the work that they do and doing what's best for kids. And so I'm so grateful for that. I would love to see our program grow more and see a dedicated position with Farm to School. I think there's so many leaps and bounds that we could move towards if we had something like that in our district.
And so you work with your nutrition services department.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so great when a nutrition service department actually takes the initiative to get involved in farm to school gardens. And it's pretty rare. We have a few people that I interview and I have on my list of people to interview. So I love that. I mean, I was a food service director for 32 years. I always say that I was let's just say I was very passionate about farm to school, and it took over my life in a good way. And like, I grew into this job. I'm in a state agency, and I wanted to do good at a state level or a national level, even, you know, rather than continuing what I'm doing. So but it all starts with like somebody like that that gets the seed, get it, gets the seed and does that. So I really, I'm so glad that you're involved in that.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of being a food service director?
You know, farm to school was actually, yeah. That was so weird. And really, farm to school wasn't a thing when I started. I like I said, I did food service management for 32 years. And so before it was like, I would do things outside of work, like culinary competitions for kids. And just to see them, I wanted to teach them something. Mm-hmm. And like, I did a program and that took off and did really well. And that was really fun and stuff. But then about 2009, the movement started happening, and just to be able to like teach kids where their food comes from was like really ignited something in me personally. So mm-hmm. I really can resonate with what you all are saying at this conference and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just such a unique opportunity to get kids in touch with their food.
I think so too.
Being a registered dietitian, like I'm very passionate about food and I love cooking and knowing where food comes from. And I know not everybody shares that same passion, but you know, just seeing kids like that, like spark ignite and things click in their brain about where their food comes from. It's just so powerful to build their relationship with food as they become adults.
Well, I think that's really important too. And like, I work with a lot of dietitians that are specialists that do, you know, a lot of people in the school food arena that are dietitians, but not too many of them work in the school garden realm. So or farm to school realm. So really thank you for that. Okay. Well, Caitlin, I really want to thank you for being here today and sharing your story and your passion. And, I look forward to seeing, more from you in the future, hopefully at another conference or something. So thanks. And nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Could I grab a selfie quick?
So I'm here with Selma Sims. And Selma, you're from the Chicagoland, right?
From Chicago.
Chicago, Illinois. Please tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Selma Sims. I'm the CEO and head grower of Gardeniers. And Gardeniers is the only full-service customized school gardening nonprofit in the city of Chicago. Now, our work is primarily done on the south and west sides because of systematic and systemic historical things that have happened, and most of those areas are considered food deserts by USDA.
Yeah.
And so the work that we do is weekly we have garden educators who are trained in both agriculture as well as classroom facilitation. They team up with AmeriCorps service members, and they facilitate weekly garden programming with anywhere between 2 to 3 schools per week. We have a team of about 30 people, so we serve 22 school and community-based partners, 21 schools. We have one community organization partner, the Boys and Girls Club, specifically the James Jordan Boys and Girls Club, and we do that programming with students. And our primary focus is, or our pillars are nature, nutrition, and community. And so we do a lot of school garden programming, we do gardening, harvesting, but we also take that food that we grow and we utilize it in our programs with our youth because they love picking the food that they grew. And we also give it away at farm stands to the community, the school community. And we also put some of our produce in community refrigerators, which we call in Chicago love fridges. And so that's what we do.
I've heard that there was some operations in Portland that I just heard about that had some community refrigerators and things.
You know, they're popping up everywhere, and so we have a great relationship. I want to get a better one, but, you know, that'll come over time because relationships are important to me. But making sure that we can put food within our community and it doesn't go to waste. The love fridges or the community refrigerators allow us to do that because sometimes there is produce left after farm stands or maybe we harvest on a day where there are no youth or parents aren't coming that day, but we don't want the food to waste in the garden. So being able to put it there where the community has free access to it, especially knowing that most food that is donated or given away as surplus is probably a non-perishable. It's probably high in preservatives. Being able to put fresh produce within our community is really important.
So Selma was speaking in our general session just a little bit at the Growing School Garden Summit here, and I had to get her on the air, as it were. So you spoke about you have how many staff members working for you? 20?
Right now we have 13 staff members. We have about 20 AmeriCorps members, but we have a team of about 30 given what time of the year we're in.
And are they all volunteers?
Oh, no.
Please tell me a little. I knew that already.
But I know you knew it. And I appreciate that, Rick. No. Yeah. So, no, everyone that is on my team, with the exception of volunteers that sign up, they are compensated, right? Yeah. So our AmeriCorps service members receive a stipend, and that is negotiated when they sign up based off their experience. But the great thing about AmeriCorps is you need no experience to be one. Mm-hmm. So we take everyone.
Yeah.
And our staff members, they are salaried employees with the exception of one person who's HR. She's part-time. Yeah. But everyone else is salaried because I like to use I'm required to give insurance. No, I can't. It's a justification. Like, hey, I need this extra money because this person's full-time. State mandates, we have insurance. I need supplemental funding. And so everyone on my team is compensated.
And I loved to hear you say, like, how, you know, they have to love what they're doing and love their pay and everything. And so how do you go about doing that? How do you fundraise and do those things to get those people compensated?
Awesome. So, yes, everyone on my team, they love the work. It is a job, of course.
Yes.
And we believe in a diversified funding model where we do conventional things like other nonprofits, such as applying for different government grants and foundational grants. But we also believe in just making sure our diversification of funding is there, because if you've been in the nonprofit industry, at least for like the last 3 to 4 years, you know at any given moment a funder could pivot their priorities, and now you're just kind of, you're in the wind hoping to find something to supplement that. So we diversify by not only just doing grants, we have a fundraising events. We lean into individual donors, and when we say individual donors, not just those donors that can donate cash. Mm-hmm. However, we take anything, whether it's physical labor, whether it's a qualified charitable gift, whether it's bringing your job for a corporate volunteer day that's sponsored, right? All of these different methods. One of my favorite platforms, and I'm not sponsored, one day, is we actually utilize Free Will, which is this platform that allows people to give non-cash gifts, such as you can be written into someone's will.
I heard you say that, and that was so intriguing.
I want it.
And somebody that's like, you know, someday I want to have a legacy, like you were saying.
And I don't want to see my dollars change right now, but I do want to have an impact.
Yeah, I can't take it with me.
And make sure this works, continues, even though I'm not here to see it. Yes, that's very important because there are a lot of folks who want to support this work. They just don't know we're here and they don't know how to. And so just making sure folks know, hey, you don't have to see a dollar leave your checking account today, but how about this?
It's all about relationships.
It's about relationships because please don't walk up to somebody you just met and say, hey, write me in your will. No, don't do that.
Please,
don't do that to
don't.
Anybody. But make sure you're building those relationships with folks who do have the capacity, who not only have the capacity, but want to do it. And so,
Is there one, if there's one thing you'd want the people in the world to know about what you do, what is it?
I have the greatest team in the world. That's one thing, but I do have the greatest team in the world, and I'm blessed to have them, because we would not be able to do this work and everything that we've been able to do over the last 10 years, because this is actually our 10th year doing this work.
Yeah.
I'm super happy and super proud. And at the same time, knowing that I appreciate and value my team, I have to make sure as a leader, as a business leader, that I'm compensating and paying them equitably to stay here, because I mentioned earlier, intellectual property, intellectual capacity in this type of work, having people that can do not only agriculture or gardening work, as well as facilitate education programming to K-12 students and build communities within schools, that's not an easy feat. That takes time. That takes practice. That takes folks really leaning into it. And I don't want to have a person learn all of that and then 1 year they're leaving me because I did not take care of my team.
Somehow I feel that isn't going to happen on your watch.
Oh, it's not.
I wish I could work for you.
You know what? You. Yeah. I'll fundraise.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. Well, Well, thank you so much
for
being with
me.
Us. I really appreciate getting to meet you.
Likewise.
So, thanks.
Thank you, Rick.
So I'm still at the Growing School Gardens Summit, and I'm talking to Pam Hosmer from Maryland. So, Pam, please introduce yourself and tell me what you do. Pam is also a fellow master gardener.
I am.
Okay.
I am. Thank you. I am a SNAP-Ed nutrition educator with the University of Maryland Extension in Montgomery County, Maryland.
Montgomery County.
And I teach in 12 different elementary schools and support their school gardens.
Okay. Oh, wow. So what happens at those 12 schools and how many students are we talking about?
Well, I think that I am currently supporting about almost 3,000 students at my schools.
Okay, yeah.
And the way this works is that I form a collaboration with a school that has we work with schools that have a 50% or greater free and reduced meals rate to work with our SNAP-Ed program.
Gotcha.
And then we work, we have a collaborator agreement with them, and then I work with the principals, and we decide what of my resources are best utilized at the school. And I teach nutrition education classes in the grades that they ask me to teach in. Mm. So, for example, one school that I work with, they have about 1,000 students, and I work with their first grade, and I support the teachers to teach the Read for Health curriculum.
Okay.
And have school garden activities. And each month I bring in food for them to have a tasting for all 7 of their first grade classes.
Okay. And what's that like? What's a typical day when you come in there? What are some of the things that happen?
In the schools, I go in, I will train. So in that school, I trained the teachers so that I drop off the food and supplies for their lessons, and then they teach them. Yeah. So early in the morning, I'll be dropping off some supplies to them.
Yeah.
Then I will be back at the office, and I might be supporting our community schools and planning for their lessons. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working with school gardens, so I might be talking to teachers and reaching out to them about what garden options they want to have, and then have a meeting with the school to plan their school garden. And then in the evening, I could do a family event with a couple hundred people coming to the events. And I will bring in our Master Gardener volunteers to help support the event.
Oh, yeah.
And I also bring in Farm Bureau volunteers to help support the event with their education programming.
Okay. What's the one thing you would like everybody out there to know about what you do? Something that excites you about your job?
One thing that excites me about my job is working with the school gardens and bringing in fresh produce for the students to taste.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny that sometimes the students haven't tasted something as basic as a strawberry or a blueberry. It never ceases to amaze me that I bring in those two fruits and half the class has never tried them.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. I think that's one of the reasons is because we have Montgomery County, Maryland, is one of the most diverse counties in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of people from a lot of different areas. And so that might not be their first choice to try at the grocery store, especially since a lot of my families have limited funds. And so they may reach for something that they're more familiar with from their heritage and their culture.
Mm.
And it may not be strawberries and blueberries.
Yeah. So we take that for granted. It's just like, oh, everyone has had those. I mean, I picked them as a youngster for a living,
right?
So to speak, you know. But yeah, matter of fact, I ate so many. I don't really care for strawberries. I'm like a very strange person that I ate too many as a youngster. So I really, yeah, you do take that for granted.
Right. In the farm that's just 2 miles from my house, they have pick your own blueberries and strawberries.
Yes.
So, you know, it seems ubiquitous that's something that everybody would do.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
So that I love to expose the kids and have them try new foods. And I love to have them come to the Master Gardener Demonstration Garden. Last year I had 450 first graders come to a program with my Snap Ed lessons, and the Master Gardeners gave tours.
Yeah.
And it was really successful, so we're expanding that this year.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Pam, for taking the time and coming over and saying hello to everybody out there. And look forward to seeing you again. I've seen you for years at conferences and stuff. So
yes.
Good to see you again. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody. We'd like to thank all of our guests for being a part of our show. And thank you for listening today.
Wow, what a gift to hear folks share their stories. Farm to School was written, directed, and produced by Rick Sherman and Michelle Markison, with production support from Leanne Lochner from Oregon State University. This podcast was made possible by a grant from the United States Department of Agriculture.
The content and ideas on the Farm to School podcast does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Oregon State University, Oregon Department of Education, and the United States Department of Agriculture. The USDA, Oregon Department of Education, and Oregon State University are equal employment providers and employers.
Want to learn more about Farm to School? Connect with us. You can check out other episodes, show notes, and send us your ideas for other episodes at farmtoschoolpodcast.org. That's all one word, farmtoschoolpodcast.org.
We would love to hear from you too, so stop by the website just mentioned to say hello or give us an idea for a future podcast.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks everyone. Bye.